give honor to my Lord and Savior. And the Father of my Lord and Savior. I'd like to give honor to the pastor of this church this morning. I also like to give honor to my best friend, my ace in the hole, my number one fan, my cook, my laundry cleaner. My financial counselor.
That's all right.
I ain't gonna call no name, because if that person don't know who I'm talking about. Yeah. I knew she was gonna do that. She has a tendency of speaking her mind.
Amen.
This morning's scripture, Matthew 14. And we're going to read verses 25 through 29. And then we'll go to Mark chapter 6. Read verses 47 through 50. And it reads, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Mark 6, 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." This morning, our subject is going to be this morning. It's time to get out of the boat. It's time to get out of the boat. God is good, church. All the time, God is good. I'm so full this morning. I'm so full because God has been good to me. You know, you look back over your life, your personal life. I can't look over your life. Look over my life and see where God has brought me from. Oh, I can say God is good. You know, this morning, church, this story, we all familiar with this story, church. We all know what's going on here. We all know what happened before Jesus sent them away in this boat. They had just got through feeding the multitude with a few pieces of bread and a few fishes. And Jesus sent them away. And then Jesus said that he gonna meet them on the other side. You know, and then they see Jesus walking on water and they think Jesus is the ghost. My thing is, I ain't concerned about what Jesus did. I'm concerned about what Jesus allowed Peter to do. Just like Jesus allowed us to do certain things. Allow us to do miracles in our life. Don't want us always to be stuck in the boat. Or stuck in a rut of life. A stuck sitting behind four walls and don't go nowhere with life. God wants you to call out him. If it be thou, Lord, bid me to come unto you. Peter said, if. For those of you that know God, know that God is talking to you. Peter said, if. And he walked on water just by expecting that to be God.
All right.
Peter said, if.
Uh-huh.
But y'all in here supposed to know God.
Well.
You're supposed to know when God talking to you.
All right.
If you're a believer of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Peter said, if.
All right.
It be God. If it be you, God. Bid me to walk on that water.
All right.
Call me unto you. How many of you in here know God? How many of you in here know God for yourself? Can't nobody tell you nothing that can make you doubt him. You know too much about him. So how many of you know God for yourself? If you know God for yourself, then why are you still stuck in certain situations you ain't supposed to be stuck in? Why are you still crying to him every Sunday morning? Why are you still saying I'm broke? Why are you still scared to go and make a new adventure in life?
All right.
If you know God for yourself, why are you worried about that sickness that's going through your body? If you know God for yourself. Peter said, if it be you, Lord, bid me to come unto you. And Peter got up out the boat, walked on water. Who else walked on water in the Bible? Who else walked on water in the Bible besides Peter and Jesus? Nobody. 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 That's what I'm saying, church. We know God for ourselves, church, but we're still stuck in ruts. We're still stuck in one place. We're actually just walking in place. We're not making any movements for ourselves. You see, if you go back in the Bible and you read the conversations that Peter had with Jesus, Peter was one of the most aggressive person to talk to Jesus. One time Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because Peter told him what you saying you can do, you ain't going to do. Then Peter told Jesus, I will never deny you, Jesus. And all of a sudden Peter did. He denied him three times. But then Peter became, after 50 days that Jesus rode, that died on the cross, Peter became a big leader. Peter stood up for the people on the day of Pentecost. Because the people around them thought the people was drunk because they spoke in all different kind of languages. And people said, these people must be drunk. Peter said, oh, no. It's too early in the morning for them to be drinking. That's the Holy Ghost upon them. Let me tell you something. We got to start being more aggressive like Peter. We allowing everything to be taken away from Christian folks. They talking about, well, another religion right now, but they ain't saying nothing about what they done did to the Christians. They saying, you can't say all them bad. They saying, they allowed to do this and allowed to do that. But when they came and hit the Christians, nobody stood up for us. You even got the President of the United States stand up for them. But when it comes to the Christians taking prayer out of school, nobody stood up for them. When it came to Christians taking prayer out of public meetings, nobody stood up for us. All we wanted to do was pray. Nobody stood up for us. We're not as aggressive as Peter was. Peter was so aggressive that he even went to Jesus face to face time after time and told Jesus things. Told Jesus this and told Jesus that. Till he became what? Jesus' favorite disciple. See, when you become a passive Christian, when you become one that allows people to walk over you, as we are becoming now,
becoming passive Christians, allowing people to just tell us what we can and can't do. Tell us when we can say Merry Christmas. Tell us when we can say Happy Easter. But they tell us, you need to be politically correct. But my Bible says, Jesus says, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow. I'm going to say praise God anyhow. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, anyhow. I'm going to tell you have a blessed day in Jesus' name anyhow. Because I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the Gospels. See, we got to get out of the boat. We stuck in the boat. See, this boat was going through a storm. And the boat was designed to go through storms. And see, while the boat was going through the storm, the boat was taking care of the disciples. See, we're used to other things being taken care of. We're used to other things handling our business. We need to handle our business ourselves. We're used to just floating right along in the storm. Oh, everything going to be all right. We're used to just going through life. Oh, everything going to be fine. We're used to just taking what they tell us. Oh, everything going to be all right. Just lean back here. Floating through the storm. While the storm is going on around us, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to say nothing. We don't want to speak up for Jesus Christ. But when he come back and you run to him and say, Lord, didn't I do this and that in your name? He going to say, depart from me, for I knew you not. See, the thing that you got to get to in this Christian business. Serving God, Judy, is risky business. Serving God is risky business. See, if you who you say you are, you got morals. You got standards. Ain't nobody going to just bend you all out of weight and just throw you all around and have you doing this and doing that because you want to be politically correct. Because you want somebody to be your friend. Too many friends dying and going to hell. See, I love you. But if God send you to the left and send me to the right, I'm going to say see you. And keep it moving. Bro, I love you. I tried to tell you, but you listen to them other folks. I tried to help you, but you didn't want to do. When they want you to stand up for them, you didn't stand up for them. You went and did what you wanted to do. So now, bro, see you. Serving God is risky business. Along with serving God, you lose friends along the way. I'm sorry. I love you, but I got to do what God tells me to do. I love you. But see, what you're doing ain't in the will of God. And I got to stand up for it this morning and tell you, that's wrong. Sometimes telling people wrong, they're going to get mad at you. But see, if I don't tell you, and God done told me to tell you, who you think going to get punished? Just like, Lord, the other week, last weekend, the killing. The wife knew. They looking more at her now than they are the killer himself. He dead and gone. The wife knew. So if you don't speak up and let somebody know that they're doing wrong, God is watching you. And guess what? It's going to come back on you. You know, Peter was so outspoken and so aggressive with Jesus, you forget about the other 11 disciples. You forget about them. They just there passive. They just there being onlookers, writing the Bible, writing scriptures, writing down events, observing what was going on, being a witness for God. But sometimes it takes more than just being an onlooker. You got to be somebody that's getting involved in things. You know, so many of us are going through life. We know stuff, but we don't help our fellow neighbors. We know things, and we allow people to go through suffering in life without even helping them. Some of us in here are great financial planners, but you won't help a younger generation plan their future finances. Some of us in here know real good thing and real good knowledge about marriage, but you won't help somebody that's going through a certain situation. Some of us in here know how to dress, know how to prepare meals, know how to do this, know how to do that, but you won't help young girls dress right. You allow them to come to church dressed any kind of way. You won't speak up to them and say, listen, young lady, there's a way to go to a young lady and tell them, listen, that's not appropriate. There's a way to do things. Back in the old days, the older ones, you tell them, you ain't wearing at the church. Serving God is risky business. We done got on that boat of comfort. We think we're on a cruise with Jesus just because he died on the cross. We sitting down on that boat just waiting for the day to die. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Holy, holy anyhow. That's a lie. When you get saved and accept Christ in your life, there's more things to do. It don't get easier. It gets harder. that's when your trouble really begins. Because when I come into the ministry, I say, oh, everything will be all right. Once I get to ministry, preach a true sermon, get up there and do what I got to do. It's work out of the church more than it is in the church. Let me tell you something. Just because you don't preach every Sunday don't mean you can't preach every day. Your life is your ministry. Everything you go through in life is your ministry. Because you know why? Somebody's watching how you handle certain situations. And guess what? When you go through certain situations, everybody know about your situation. They just want to see how you handle that situation. See, you think you're going through stuff by yourself and nobody don't know it? Mess up and do the wrong thing. Oh, you know minister so-and-so did this and did that. Oh, you know he was supposed to be a minister, and I seen him down there raising sand. No. When God calls you out, just because he put you in a pulpit, there's a bigger pulpit out there. I can preach till the cows come home in here. But I go out there and make one mistake in front of one individual, it'll spread like wildfire. But I preach God is good up in him and stay on the boat. I love what God does in your life, my life, all our lives in here. Because, see, being a Christian being a minister in the Christian ministry, we watch the flock. We watch the flock grow. You know, we watch how the flock eats. We watch how the flock is nutrition. We watch how the flock is grazing sometime. I even know who in here don't like each other. Reb do too. This calling on our life that we have is, you don't see all of that we do. this story right here. Before Jesus come to the water, what did he do? He went away and prayed. Now, this is Jesus. Who he praying for? He praying for those disciples getting ready to go through that storm. See, when Jesus send you away to go on your journey, he goes directly to the Father. See, when Jesus sends you through something that he's know that's going to come about, like a storm came about the disciples right here, he goes away and he tells the Father, look out for them. Make sure they're all right. Then the Father looks at Jesus and says, you want me to look out for them? And all Jesus does is show him the holes in his hand. Show him the piercing in his side. Show him where the blood run down his forehead with the crown of thorns. And God says, okay.
All right.
He went away and he prayed for the disciples. And then when he came up on the water, he almost walked right by him.
Well.
This is how close Jesus is to some of y'all. Ain't now one of you hollered out Jesus yet. But you know him. When he was on the water, he almost walked right by him. It says it in Mark. He was walking just that fast. Now, they on the boat struggling, rowing. They struggling. 12 of them on the boat struggling. Jesus. About walk by. But Peter said, hold up, Jesus. If that's you, bid me to come under thee. I don't understand what the other 11 was doing up there. But it had been me. I could say this. If it had been me, I'm going with Peter. Because it's safer to walk to Jesus on stormy seas than to stay on a boat made by man and thinking you safe. So many of us are staying on them boat made by a mental complex in our mind that we are in security now. You think you got it made. Pastor preach every week. Preach his heart out. You still raise hell on Monday. Then you say these words. God knows my heart. Jesus died for me on the cross. I'm saved by grace. But the scriptures speak of habitual sinners. It speak of sinners who sin over and over again and keep thinking they're going to go to God in prayer and keep thinking those sins are forgiven. Speaks of that. See, you think you come here on Sunday morning and can get saved and sanctified Sunday morning and leave back out Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and do what you want to do. You got another thing coming. I told you, being on God's side, serving God is risky business. You might not like me after the day because, see, I'm trying to get your soul right. Because, see, when I go to heaven, I want to know somebody up there besides the ones that's already there. And then another thing. A lot of us won't get out the boat because we done read the story wrong. We got out of the boat because, and then it says Peter started to sink. He didn't drown. He didn't go down far enough to get water in his mouth. Because he had enough mouth to say, oh, Lord, help me. Jesus said, ye a little faith. What happened? Pulled him right back up. See, when you get out there the boat and start walking in your miracles and you feel like stuff started going hard in your life, he ain't going to let you drown. You might sink a little bit. You might go down a little bit. But he's going to pull you right back up. Song said we fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down. But you didn't drown. You got back up. But when you got back up, he kept on walking on that water. See, he didn't say he got back up and was immediately in the boat. He got back up and walked on that water. Walk in your seasons, church, because God has something for each and every one of us in here. All we got to do is start walking in our season. Now, this storm also wasn't a rebukable storm. It wasn't a storm that Jesus could tell, "Oh, peace be still." Sometimes you got to go through storms in life to make you who you are. So you'll go through a sickness and you think Jesus done left you because he didn't heal you.
Well,
that sickness is going to make you closer to God.
Right.
You'll go through a financial difficulties and you have to handle that yourself.
Well,
I mean, you'll think because Jesus didn't help you out of that situation when you wanted him to help you out.
Right.
But see, when you went through that, that's what made you who you are.
Well,
when you go through a death in life of a loved one that's close to you,
right,
and you just knew Jesus was going to heal them, him or her, that death is what make you who you are. That's what's going to make you walk in the glory, and that's what's going to make Jesus say, "I know you. This is my servant right here." Because in her time of trouble, she called on me. In his time of doubt, he called on me. When I took this from him, when I took that from him, he knew who I was and kept calling on me. When I sent them through those financial difficulties, they depended on me. They weren't depending on that money no more. They knew who to call on. When I took this from them, when they went through that, when the spouses did this and did that, they still called on me and remained faithful to the call. Those troubles are what make, those storms are what make you who you are. Because Jesus could have said, "Peace be still."
Yeah.
And his ship would have been still. Remember, he was on one ship. This ain't the ship that Jesus was on, because that ship he was on, he was down at the bottom, asleep.
Right.
Remember? And the reason he was asleep, because when there's a storm on the seas, if the lower you are on the ship, the better it is. You don't feel it. It's oxymoron, you don't think so. But the lower you are on a ship on the sea and it's going through a storm, you don't feel it.
All right.
Why do you think? When, what's the best time of the year to go on a cruise? Hurricane season. And they give you the most expensive cabin up top. You can get it real cheap. Hurricane season. But it's not comfortable. But if you get a cabinet down on the bottom, hurricane season, you ain't going to feel nothing. You don't even know you're going through that storm. That's why Jesus was asleep on that other ship. This ain't that ship. See, some people get the stories mixed up. And then Jesus says through a storm, "Be not afraid. It is I. Be of good cheer." Stop being afraid when you're going through those storms. Stop crying and whining and running to the altar. Oh, Lord, when you're going through those storms. Because Jesus has already put it out there. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. For I am Jesus. I am with you all the time. You say with you always and all the time and here and there. So when you're going through them storms, the best and only one to call on is who? Jesus. Call him in the midnight hour. Call him in the morning dew. Call him in the evening when the sun going down. Jesus. You know, I learned that when Jesus pop on my mind anytime, I just start immediately praying. Because I don't know what's next and what's around the corner for me. Because traveling, you could be in an accident the very next minute. Driving, your mind is making 1,000 decisions per second.
Well,
it don't take but one.
All right.
One split moment. Well, somebody pull out in front of you,
all
right, hit on brakes, it's over. Example, 2 weeks ago, coming home from South Carolina, Salisbury, a lady's car broke down. I don't know what she was thinking. Her car broke down on 85. She gets out of the car and stands in front of it. Truck driver coming up the road. All the traffic slowed down. Truck driver coming up the road. Instead of him waiting his turn, he comes around, hits the gas, and the car sitting right there, and she right here. Matter of seconds. She was on her way to work. Car broke down. She got out of the car, stood in front of it. Truck run over the car, run over her. Killed her instantly. Truck driver devastated the rest of his life. In a twinkling of an eye. Your life can change just like that. So that's why at church this morning, I'm asking you, get out of the boat. Get on that water. Start working those miracles in your life that God has for you. Start doing the things that Jesus wants you to do, because if you don't do it now, you're not going to get a second chance if your life is taken in a wink, in a twinkle of an eye. Church, get out of the boat. You know, what if the boat could talk that the disciples was riding in? What do you think the boat would say? What do you think the boat would tell you to do when you see Jesus walking on water? What do you think the boat would guide you to believe? See, the boat could get up and tell you, when you're going through a storm, God has prepared something to carry you through. When you're going through a storm, God has set something aside for you to make it through that storm. Too many of us go through storms in life where we don't know what we're going to do. The strongest Christian will turn into a mouse if the storm hits them at the right time. The strongest father who loves that favorite son or daughter. Something happened to that son or daughter, that father would lose his mind. It's been done. The strongest mother, her favorite son or daughter would leave this world. That mother would leave Jesus Christ. The strongest preacher, if his church ain't growing fast enough, if the members ain't paying him what he wants to be paid, if the members don't do what they want him, he or she wants them to do, they'll walk away from the ministry. But it ain't about the multitude. It's about that one that you lead to Christ. Scripture says, where there are two or three gathered in my name. I hear so many preachers say that. Man, I'm about to leave the ministry because my church ain't growing. What's it? Leave it. Because the Bible also says many are called, few are chosen. See, all these storms that come around in people's lives, it don't just hit the average Christian, because some people think preachers are up above this and that. I got to say average Christian. So, it hits everybody, from the pulpit to the back door. Everybody go through storms in life. See, serving God is risky business. I learned that serving God is a way to improve my faith with God. Because each and every day I wake up, I thank God. Each and every night I lay down, I thank God. Each and every storm that I go through, I thank God. Each and every situation that I have in my life, I thank God. My kids, I thank God. And being a father, I thank God. Even when I had to pay child support years ago, I thank God. Because, see, that was something that made me who I am today. Because, you know, going through those things back then made me the person I am now. See, I can stand before you and say that I trust God all the time. I don't have to lie to you about God and what he's done for me. I am a witness for God. And see, that's all God wants us to be, is witnesses for him. And see, Peter, if you meet Peter today, Peter will tell you, yeah, Jesus told me to come out of that boat. Jesus walked, put me down on that water, and Jesus had me to walk on that water. See, when I first got out that boat and started walking on that water, my faith was real strong when I walked on that water. See, when I put that first step down, it felt like I was walking on land, but I was walking on water. And I kept on going through, and the storm started whirling around me, and I kept on walking on water. Then I put that next foot down, and I kept on walking on that water because I was looking at Jesus, and he was standing right there. All I had to do was keep on walking on that water. See, I got on up out of that boat because I called on him. I said, if it be you, Lord, then bid me to walk on that water. I kept on walking on that water because Jesus wanted me to do what he wanted me to do. See, when I believe in Jesus, I go to Philippians, 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And Peter went on to say, when I did that and I realized something, that I was walking on water, and I looked back and I saw the other 11 up there on the boat, I got kind of scared and I started sinking, and Jesus reached out and picked me up, but I didn't drown. Church, you're not going to drown if you trust Jesus like you should trust him. You're not going to drown if you do what the will of God. You're not going to go without just following the will of God, and you will have everything you want to have. You know, the Bible tells me not only will he give you your wants, he will give you your desires just by following him. Too many of us get too caught up in our wants and get caught up in our desires instead of our needs. And we want our desires first. Don't work like that. To get a desire is a process into getting a desire. You got to go through a process of getting financially free. You got to go through a process of getting what you want. It's just like baking a cake. You got to go through a process of baking. It takes time. You got to add the ingredients and put it in the oven. Then you got to sit back and wait on it. You may want that sweetness right then, but you got to sit back and wait on it. Then when you wait on it, it got to come out the oven. Then it's got to cool down. Then you still want that sweetness. I just got to hurry up and get this cake done. You want it to cool down. Then when it cools down, you got to put the frosting on it. Then you got to wait for that to cool down. Then when it cool down, you go up there, it looks too good to cut. You don't want it then. Because the desire has been met. But see, with this scripture right here of Peter, what we don't realize in this scripture right here, in this story right here, It's Peter that's doing the miracle. It's Peter that's walking on water. That's Jesus. Jesus can do that. Jesus can walk on water. Jesus can heal the sick. Jesus can raise the dead. Jesus can give sight to the blind. Jesus can put money in your pocket. But it's Peter that's walking on water. God has a miracle for all of us in here to do. Peter is doing this miracle of walking on water. What's your miracle that God wants you to do? Are you doing it? We all have a miracle that God wants us to do. There's something that he wants us to do. All Peter had to do was walk on water. And we're talking about that right today. He walked on water. Nobody else has done that. What miracle that's in your life that God wants you to do? It's your miracle to heal the sick. It's your miracle to come up with a new way of teaching. It's your miracle to come up with a new way of learning. It's your miracle to come up with a new way of voting. It's your miracle to come up with a new way of making things free for people. What is it that God wants you to do? Too many of us are sitting down on our blessings, and we're not doing what God wants us to do. Imagine if Peter had stayed up on that boat. Today, we wouldn't be talking about Peter. We'd be talking about somebody else. Because, church, I realize that sometimes those miracles that God wants us to do, other folks going to look at us strange. They're going to talk about us. They're not going to go with us. They're going to say, you crazy. But if it's something that God has put in your heart to do, you better do it. Because if you don't do it, it's going to be like the three guys with the talents. He's going to take your blessing and give it to somebody else. And then you're going to sit back and say, you know, I had that idea in my mind one time. I could have did that. It's because you didn't use the gift that God gave you to use to do that. And sometimes, church, just because your stuff is different than somebody else's stuff that God gives you, don't worry about it. As long as it's from God, just like Peter said, if it be thou you, Lord, if it wasn't God, he would not have been able to walk on water. He would have got out there on a false prophet and drowned. But it was Jesus, and he was able to walk on water. So, church, this morning, get out of the boat. Do what God wants you to do. If you don't holler out to God about something, and he done told you to do something, because I know 90% of us done prayed for God, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Anybody in here prayed that prayer? Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? He has told you. And are you doing what you asked God to tell you what to do? If you're not doing it, when you start drowning, you're going to drown. He won't be there to reach out for you. Amen?